Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Well, it's a real pleasure to bring the word today and to be sharing with you. During the week, the chaplain at Oxley Christian College, and again, it's such a privilege to stand up here and to be able to share my faith in front of 600 senior students or 300 junior students. And it's just an incredible thing to think, that's my job. I get to share the love of Christ with people every single day. I have the opportunity for students to come into my office and I will be speaking with them about the struggles that they're going through. Just because we're a Christian school doesn't mean that we don't have plenty of non-Christian kids in our school. Doesn't mean that we don't have plenty of students, whether they're Christian or non-Christian, that are going through struggles in life. Mum and dad have separated. They're struggling in the stresses of year 12. They perhaps have an eating disorder, or perhaps they're self-harming. These are some of the things that I deal with on a regular basis, and it's a privilege. The last day of term, just before these holidays, I was speaking with a young man and mentoring him, and he just said, "Oh, Pastor Matt, perhaps you have some sort of, you know, knowledge on this, but just wondering if you could just talk to me a little bit about, you know, the fact that I'm really struggling in my faith." We spent half an hour just chatting about that and the issues that he had about, you know, why is there evil in the world? Why is there poverty in the world? Why this and that? And it was just, again, just an incredible thing just to chat with this young guy and pray with him and just say, you know what, you don't need to have all the answers right here and now, and you don't have to go away from this conversation right here and now and feel that everything is under control, but it would be good for you to go away and just start to pray and start to think more and for us to continue this conversation. And that is what is brilliant. Doesn't have to end right there. I'll continue to track with this guy throughout the year. And what an incredible, incredible privilege. We're seeing salvations in the college. We saw last year in just one chapel service here, 12 students give their lives to Christ. We have at least two students getting baptized this coming term. Please continue to pray for the college. This is our one of our mission expressions of this church is that college up there on that hill. Continue to pray for me. I rely on the Holy Spirit for discernment, for wisdom every single day. And continue to pray for the teachers that share their faith as well as their educational knowledge with the students every single day. It's a brilliant thing to have a college and have the 1,000 students that we're ministering to every single week. So thank you for your support as a church. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for sending your kids to Oxley if you do that. It's a fantastic thing. Why don't we pray? Father God, just as I bring your word today, Lord, this word you've placed on my heart, I pray, Jesus, that you would just anoint it, Lord. You would that every word that I would speak today would be under your anointing and by your Holy Spirit leading. I pray, God, that they wouldn't be my words being shared, but they would be yours. I pray that, Lord, it wouldn't be my purposes being achieved, but they would be your purposes that would be achieved. Lord, let your word not return to you void, but Father, just speak into the lives and the spirits of every person here today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the fun things of being a chaplain at Oxley is that I'm actually called Pastor Matt. Most of the teachers up there are called Mr. You know, I would be Mr. Daly if I wasn't a teacher. And I received an email from a parent in this church the other week, and they said, gee, they were talking to their young daughter who said, gee, Pastor Matt's parents must have really liked Pastor to name him after Pastor, wouldn't he? Still, the junior school don't understand that pastor is a title. It's not actually my first name, but that's okay. Today, I want to share with you on one of the biggest issues that I think students face, that adults face, we all face. It's one of the biggest weapons that Satan has in his arsenal. It's an issue that I take as a guess sees more people leave churches than we would possibly realize. It hinders people from reaching their full potential. It locks people in their rooms. It traps people behind computers. It robs self-confidence. It sees people move jobs or leave careers. It can see marriages break down. And it can lead to depression. Very quickly, I'd like you to turn to the person next to you and have a guess as to what the issue is that I'm going to share with you today. Turn to the person next to you. Just say, oh, I think it might be this. Do you relate to some of those symptoms? When you turn to the person next to you, did you share with them out of perhaps some experience that you have? Do you identify with the description that I gave? Put your hand up if you say, yes, I think the issue that he's going to speak on today, according to that description he gave, was sin. Then perhaps put your hand up if the person next to you and you or you said sin. No? Oh, a few there. Great. Good. It could definitely fit within that. But no, it's not sin. I won't get you to put your hand up for the next one, but perhaps you thought maybe he's going to talk about pornography. Maybe you thought he's going to talk about communication. Maybe selfishness. Maybe something else you came up with. Each of these would possibly fit. But the issue that I want to share with you today, that I feel that God led me towards, because it's not one that you would necessarily pick out to talk about if you're going, okay, what can I share? I get to speak a couple of times a year at church. What fun thing could I share? It's not that fun. But I do believe that it is consistently robbing students and adults of life to the full. And it's this. Loneliness. Consider that for a moment. I see a couple of people patting each other on the back. Is that, yes, I got loneliness. That's well done. Loneliness. It would be an interesting experiment, I think, to have people put up their hand and say if they are currently experiencing loneliness or that they've felt lonely in the last week. The thing about loneliness is that you can experience it in a crowd. You can experience it, obviously, when you're alone. And you might, as a matter of fact, be feeling it now. When I'm alone, as opposed to feeling lonely, they're two different things, being alone and being lonely. When I'm alone, I can actually still feel happy, relaxed. Confident. In a physical sense, having time alone can be a good thing, a really good thing. I have three children. Nothing more needs to be said. Being alone can sometimes be a positive thing. Perhaps you like to go fishing, spend some time alone. Perhaps you like to read a book, watch a movie, spend time in prayer or meditating on God's word. It helps recharge the batteries, being alone. It can be powerful time. It can help us be focused. It can assist us in making plans and having goals. It can put things in perspective. And it can allow us to simply just rest. Being alone means that I'm on my own. But it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm lonely. Being lonely, on the other hand, can happen both when I'm on my own or amongst a crowd. For example, you go to the football to watch your favourite team play. You can be amongst 90,000 other spectators. You can be amongst other fans. I could be there and amongst 10 others that are cheering for my Essendon Football Club. I'm certainly not alone. But in that moment, I can still actually feel lonely. I can be a student in a year level of 100 students, in a classroom with 25 others, and yet still feel like I don't have a friend. I can be a manager of a large business and have hundreds of employees, and yet still feel there's no one that I can actually feel that I can trust. I can have 794 friends on Facebook, and yet still feel as though I don't have someone that I could invite over for a coffee and a chat or just to hang out. I can attend a large youth group or a large church and still feel like, where do I belong? Do I belong? Does anyone care? If I wasn't here next week, would anyone notice? As I said at the start, it's a hard topic to talk about because it's not necessarily a warm and fuzzy one. But the truth behind it, the fact is that each one of us experience loneliness at times in our life. And loneliness can have a certain stigma about it. It can show a form of weakness that we don't necessarily want to share with others or talk about. Because it might bring discomfort. For some, loneliness might be short-lived. Like being homesick. Fair enough, we feel a little lonely. Or perhaps a friend moving away. I remember when I was in year seven, my best mate that we'd grown up with each other since we were age five, in the same church, went over to each other's house basically every other weekend. He left for a year to go and live in Holland with his family. It was horrible. We were the only two the same age in our youth group. And for that entire year, I felt lonely every time I went to youth. There were 60 other youth there, but I felt lonely. Not just alone, but lonely. When I travelled to Cambodia in January with 19 students, I have the privilege of taking over to Cambodia for a missions trip with Samaritan's Purse. We'll be taking those Christmas shoeboxes with us, and we'll have the opportunity to hand that out to hundreds of Cambodian children who have never received such a gift before. And be able to minister into those communities and those villages. And it's an amazing thing. But when I go, I'll be away from my wife and my kids, who I love dearly. There will be times when I feel moments of loneliness. But it's temporary. It's short-lived. I will return, and the loneliness will go away. My mother and father are divorced. My mum lives in Geelong. I live in Chirnside Park. One of my sisters lives in Brisbane and the other lives in the USA. We're not exactly close in proximity to my mum. I know without a shadow of a doubt that she feels many moments of loneliness. If you're new to this country, if you're new to this state, if you're new to this local community, it takes time and energy and effort and to feel like you belong, to be able to call this new place home. I believe that it takes a minimum of 2 years to feel comfortable and at home in any new house, in any new workplace, in any new church. It takes time to build relationship. It takes time to feel acceptance. It takes time to make our own place and feel like we're part of a family once again, if we've been uprooted from a previous location. Loneliness. It's not nice to talk about. Because as you do, perhaps right now, there are emotions that are welling up inside you. You remember times where you did feel lonely. Perhaps you are feeling a little lonely right now, and that is difficult. Perhaps you felt isolated, alone, friendless. Perhaps you just haven't felt the support that you thought that you needed and required at a particular point in your life. Whilst being alone is physical, being lonely is emotional and spiritual. And emotions sting a little. It's no wonder that right at the very beginning, God said that it wasn't going to be good for man to be alone. Now, you might even be able to argue that, well, Adam wasn't really alone. I mean, he was surrounded by God's beauty. He was surrounded by plants and animals. And the very presence of God dwelt there amongst him. He wasn't necessarily alone. But God recognized that he needed someone of his own kind, a woman who, amongst other things, would just be a great companion, a great friend, and would help Adam not to be physically, emotionally, spiritually lonely. God recognized he needed a partner. We were never designed to be alone. We were never designed to be lonely, to experience loneliness. But loneliness became inescapable, an inescapable consequence of the fall. The moment Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, going against God's perfect will and plan, they chose on behalf of mankind. God, we think we know a little better. And the concept and the consequence of loneliness was introduced. Loneliness from God and loneliness amongst each other. To this point, man had lived in a perfect garden. No sickness, work wasn't a chore. How good would that be? Plenty to eat, no worries, no having to pay bills, no jealousy, no arguing, no thought that we're alone on this earth. No selfishness, no sense of loneliness. But now, separation was introduced. Sin comes into the world, and along with it comes shame and insecurity. Adam and Eve are suddenly aware of their nakedness, and they feel the need to be clothed. They're insecure. Their son Cain later kills Abel because of his own insecurity. And we can see this pattern repeated over and over again, right up until today. When our eyes are taken off God and placed upon our own circumstances, it's easy for us to find personal fault or fault in others. It's easy to find reasons to be insecure and afraid. It's easy to push God aside, the very one who actually seeks fellowship with us, the very one who assures us that there is no reason for us to feel insecure or lonely. Do we not worship the God of the Bible who says in Isaiah 41:10, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." Do we not worship the God of the Bible that says in Joshua 1 verse 5, "I will not leave you or forsake you"? In Matthew 28:20, Jesus says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." That's the truth that we live under, isn't it? That's not the emotional truth. That's the real biblical truth, spiritual truth, godly truth, truth that we live under. That we have a God that will never leave us, that will always be with us in our darkest times, in our joy, in our sadness, in our grief, in our time of loneliness, God will always be with us. He will not forsake us. That is truth. If we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we are never alone and never will be. And any thoughts that we are simply a lie from the enemy. Simply a lie of Satan, wanting to rob, kill, and destroy our joy, our hope, our life to the full. But again, that doesn't mean that we don't feel the emotions of feeling lonely. That sometimes, even though we know that the ultimate truth that God is with us, that we still can feel lonely. Telling someone who is in the midst of loneliness that from the outside that, you know, that they're perhaps friendless or they're just hurting, or and we come into that situation and just say, hey, suck it up, princess. Hey, God's always with you. Well, while that can be well-intentioned, it could come across cruel. Telling someone that's just been through a breakup that there's plenty of fish in the sea, chin up, get back out there, probably not healthy for them right there and then in their moment of despair. So I guess the question is feeling lonely okay? Is feeling lonely wrong? Is it okay to question God and to say, God, where are you right now? Or God, where are others in my life right now? Why am I going through this? Why have you forsaken me? Luckily, of course, we don't need to look too far for an answer. David and Jesus are always fantastic examples for us to look upon and gain insight and wisdom and example from. David, well, he was recognized and identified as a man after God's very own heart. He had great faith. He loved God's law. He was a truly thankful and worshipful man. He seemingly demonstrated his faith every single day. Yet, he experienced great sorrow, confusion, anger, loneliness. And he didn't just express these things to God, but he expressed them on paper. He wrote them down. I don't know about you, but if I was feeling some of the ways that David sometimes felt, I possibly wouldn't write them down. I would be able to then say, oh, no, I didn't write that. No, I didn't think that. No. But David did, and that's for our benefit, that we can look and see what he experienced, what he went through. Because this guy went on to be a fantastic, great king. Not perfect. But he was included in the Hall of Fame, listed in the Heroes of Faith. And he said in Psalm 25, 16 to 21, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all of my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Turn to me and be gracious to me, God, for I am lonely. David was lonely, I'm sure, on more than one occasion. Yet his greatest strength was that time and time again, he'd return to God for help. Time and time again, he would come to God, pour out his heart, be totally honest with his emotions, totally honest with his thoughts, and he'd plead to God. to relieve him of his troubles and his burdens. God, rescue me. How often do we do that? Are we regular in returning to God and saying, God, rescue me. God, I need your help right now. Are we regular in that, or do we leave that as our last option? Do we try and work it out on our own first? Go and see everybody else that we can talk to and share with first? Or do we turn to Jesus? Do we turn to God first and say, God, right now, I just need your help. I'm struggling. God, rescue me. And God is well able to do so. Today, I wonder, is that you? Do you need to honestly call out to God for his help? But I've already done that. Maybe it's time to do that again. Even Jesus felt times of loneliness. Even Jesus felt abandoned in a human sense. He cried out as he faced death, my God, why have you forsaken me? Had God forsaken him? No. Of course not. But I'm sure, as fully human as Jesus was, that every emotion in his human self was crying out that, yes, God had forsaken him. Jesus knew the end game, though. He knows the last page of the book. He knew that though he was in great pain, that though he'd experience a momentary separation from God, and though he would experience loneliness like no other man would experience, in the end, he would be restored to the right hand of the Father. He would defeat hell and death. He would have victory over our emotional loneliness. And even more importantly, victory over our eternal loneliness. That's what he was here for. But even though he knew all that, even though he knew the end game, he still cried out, God, why have you forsaken me? And we should too. If we are experiencing loneliness, we need to cry out to God. God, heal me of my spiritual loneliness. Let me know that you are true and that you are real. God, where are you? I need to know your personal presence in my life. Life is too short to live under a spirit of loneliness. It's not good for us. It's harmful for our health. And it's an increasing epidemic around the world. One survey conducted in the USA said that in the 80s, it was estimated 20% of the population identified as being lonely. 20%. It's a pretty big statistic. In 2013, this had risen to 40%. Studies show that the chances of an early death are increased 45% in those who suffer from loneliness. That's 15% higher than alcoholism. Just because we are more socially networked than ever before doesn't mean that our true need for community and fellowship is being met. Just because we have 700 friends on Facebook doesn't mean that we are not experiencing emotional and spiritual loneliness. So get off Facebook and get to church if you're listening to the podcast. So what can you do? What can you do? When I say what can you do, I don't mean what can you do, church. I mean what can you do as an individual? This isn't a we problem. This isn't an us problem. If we make it a corporate problem, as in everyone, It will always be someone else's issue to deal with. It will always be someone else's fault. I heard recently a saying, if everyone's doing it, no one's doing it. So today I'm asking you, as an individual, will you choose to make a difference? To make a difference in your own life and make a difference in the lives of others around you? Will you help to cease this epidemic of loneliness in our world, in our church, in our community? Philippians 2 verse 21 says, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not for those of Jesus Christ. The first thing that you need to do is stop coming to church for yourself. Think about that. Stop coming to church for yourself. The chances are that you are already fat enough, gorged on good knowledge, good teaching, good worship. And it's time to turn that into muscle. And to build muscle, you need to be active. James 2:17 says, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. John 13:34 says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. Stop coming to church for you. Make a decision today that I'm going to come to church for others. As you read the Bible this week, ask God for a word of encouragement for someone, a scripture for someone, a face, a name of someone that you can share that with, that you can share an encouragement with when you come to church next Sunday. Don't come to church for you. Who's going to speak to me? Who's going to encourage me? Rather, who am I next week going to come and encourage? Who next week am I going to come and speak a word over? Who am I going to help? As you pray in the car on your way to work, pray for others more than your own needs. And if God places someone on your heart to call them right there, right then, on hands free, of course. Time and time again, when I've done that, time and time again, I would be returned with words such as, oh, I so needed that. Thank you so much. Yesterday, I was praying to God, God, just show me that you're real. Time and time again, these sorts of things are repeated. As I've stepped out of my comfort zone, as I've been bold, as I've been obedient, and shared with someone in their time of need, because God's placed them on my heart. But again, it's only when I allow myself to get out of the way and I let the Holy Spirit to have control that that even becomes possible. When you arrive at church, don't just seek out the same people every week. Your friends or the regulars that sit around you, say hi to someone else. Introduce yourself and show interest, genuine interest, in their lives. Churches, for all their good intentions, can be lonely places. Can be hard places for a new person. Our strength is that we are a family. That is an incredible strength. It's also, in some ways, an incredible weakness. Because families can be hard to break into. But that said, don't just limit yourself to new people either. If we're all just going around and visiting and saying hello to just new people, then again, we're lacking in our sense of community and support for each other as regulars. Churches are great at the three C's. Cards, condolences, and casseroles. It's true. When we hear of a need, we actually are pretty good at responding. We send a card. We send a condolence. We send a whole lot of casseroles. But 2 weeks later, that person who has lost someone, they're still living that out every single day. 3 weeks later, that new person, we don't recognize as a new person every day, and yet they still haven't made a strong connection. Stop coming to church for yourself. I'll ask the worship team to come up. I'll begin to wrap up in a moment, and I want to pray, because I want to pray for people here today that feel that spirit of loneliness. And I want to see God break that off some people's lives. So the first thing is to stop coming to church for yourself. The second is that if you're sitting in your seat each week waiting to be ministered to, waiting for connection just to happen, it is unlikely that it will. As much as I've just challenged everybody around you to make sure that they come and get involved in your life, there is still a high chance that that may not happen for you. Good connection is purposeful connection. And if you don't feel connected here and you want to be, let me tell you, we want you to be. Well, ring the office, ring Chris Blacker. Say, can you get me involved in a life group where I can make true and honest connection? Come over at the end of the service where we have coffee every week. We have some amazing people there that support us and serve us every week, making sure that there is tea and coffee over there. Let me tell you, it's not so that you can have tea and coffee. It's so that we can enjoy community together. That you won't go, oh, it's 11:30, it's time to go and run out the door. It's so that you will spend time fellowshipping together, getting involved in each other's lives, and perhaps spend that time to pray with one another or encourage one another, invite one another over for lunch. If you can't invite someone home for lunch because you've got a messy house, invite yourself over to somebody else's house for lunch. Matt said you could. There's a time for grieving, a time for crying out to God, and a time for getting off our gluteus maximus and doing something about it. The faster you stop making church about what am I going to get, who is going to talk to me, I hope someone will sit next to me, and make it more about who am I going to bless, who am I going to talk to, who can I find and ask to sit next to me, who am I going to pray for this week, the faster your thoughts about being lonely will actually become a distant memory. The more often God will begin to use you, and the more miracles you might just see. The stronger a community that we will have, and the more freedom we will have to see God move in people's lives. Because lonely people struggle to see God moving in their lives, because they're too wrapped up in their own loneliness, too wrapped up in their own hurt, perhaps, to allow God to do that. And that's a defense mechanism. We want to see God move in our midst, amen? We want to see lonely people set free, do we not? So that's how we avoid personal loneliness, in us and in others. But what if I'm in the midst of it right now? We've been designed by God for community, with Him and with others. Loneliness was never God's intention. It's a lie of the enemy, and it's robbing people today from living a life to the full. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have life to the full." God loves you just the way you are, but he doesn't want to leave you there. He doesn't want to leave you there. It's okay to identify as being lonely or having experienced your fair share of loneliness. It's not okay to stay there. So this morning, I believe we need to see some people set free. Freed from the spirit of loneliness that's upon them. Satan has no right to hold people captive under a spirit of loneliness. Jesus said in Luke 4, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." To proclaim good news to the lonely, you could replace that with. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." If you are lonely today, if you're being held prisoner by a spirit of loneliness, we want to see that set free by the power of Jesus' name today. When we're engulfed by our loneliness and self-pity, we're blind to see God's goodness. We're oppressed. In other words, we're held down. We're held back. And today is the day to fully understand God's favor and see the restoration of your sight with eyes firmly set upon God from this day forward, looking up and not looking down, walking in a new and true and renewed freedom. Amen? Amen. So if that's you today, as we begin to worship, I just want you to come down the front. We're going to ask the elders, the pastors to come and to pray for people to be set free. I believe that there is at least 10 people here today that would say, "I'm living under a spirit of loneliness and I want that to cease today. Today's the day that it needs to stop." Why don't you come down the front? Allow us to pray for you. If you're not coming down the front, please stand with us, worship with us, and lift out a prayer. Put your hands out towards people and join us as we pray for them, that they would be restored, that they would be set free and experience breakthrough. Amen? Amen. Why don't you come down the front? Start to come right now if you want prayer. We want to pray for you, the spirit of loneliness to be broken off your life. And if you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, the one that will dwell in your heart and without a shadow of a doubt make you understand that you are never alone, that you never should be lonely. If you want to receive Jesus Christ into your life today for the first time, we'd love for you to come down the front too. Allow us to introduce you to him and pray with you and see that loneliness just broken off your life. Why don't you come? Please stand, let's worship together.